This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Well, thanks very much, Brian Madore, for that amazing introduction. Enthusiasm, for sure. We're going to talk to Brian Madore now in a second. But just to recap the events of today, two new cases of COVID-19 reported in the province, including a student at Elwood Elementary in Deer Lake. This is the first case in the province's school system. It's linked to a previous case, and all the student cohorts are awaiting testing. The school's been closed for 2 days as contact tracing takes place. It's a very serious situation, one that I guess frightens all parents across Newfoundland and Labrador, because as we know, schools can turn out to be super spreader kind of places. Here's what Education Minister Tom Osborne had to say.
This decision was made using an abundance of caution. This is the result of a positive test from a student at this school, which was confirmed just after 8 a.m. this morning. We took this step to ensure effective contact tracing is possible. In any public health investigation, if a student or staff member is considered a close contact of an individual who has tested positive for COVID-19, they will be contacted by public health officials.
That brings to 23 now the total number of active cases of the virus in Newfoundland and Labrador. They're contained in three separate clusters and a few random cases here and there. Chief Medical Officer of Health Janice Fitzgerald indicated today that both the Grand Bank and the St. John's clusters appear to be in hand, barring the late onset of symptoms in close contacts. The Deer Lake cluster, however, still unfolding as testing takes place in the school system there. Here's what Dr. Janice Fitzgerald had to say about that.
Certainly in Grand Bank, it does appear contact tracing has been completed, and it does appear that we have identified all of the contacts to date. Of course, people can who have been identified as contacts can develop symptoms, up to the 14-day mark. So we're not out of the woods until we know we've gotten through that, certainly through that cycle from the last known contact. But it does appear right now that we have identified those contacts and we have that area under control. However, things can change very quickly, so that doesn't mean you can let your guard down in Grand Bank. You know, you still need to be careful, and it doesn't mean you can let your guard down anywhere, really. I mean, we still need to be watching out for physical distancing and making sure you're wearing your mask like you should be, and that you're avoiding gatherings and keeping your contacts as small as possible. With regard to St. John's, that little cluster, again, it appears that it's that we have identified the contacts, but again, up to 2 weeks, we could certainly find more cases as a result of that. The good thing is that the contacts we've identified are in isolation, so there should be little further onward spread. Deer Lake, we're still working through that. It's still in early days, really. We're comfortable with where we are now, that we've been able to trace everybody in this cluster back to back to that origin. That's very good. So, but it's still early days in Deer Lake.
So in the meantime, the province is pulling out of the Atlantic bubble for at least a two-week period, over which time the situation will be monitored. Premier Andrew Furey calls it a circuit breaker after a young man who recently returned to the province from Halifax tested positive for the virus. That new measure comes into effect at 12:01 a.m. Wednesday. Non-essential travel now not recommended at this time. The VOCM newsroom was monitoring the two back-to-back news conferences today, and Brian Madore among them. Brian, what stood out for you?
Yeah, you're right. That was a heavy note out. Also, the interesting note here is PEI has also left the bubble. So really, the bubble is no longer intact. But New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, they are still in the bubble. Those two provinces almost connected. It's pretty tough to get to Nova Scotia without going through New Brunswick, you know, in some fashion. So also in the school system, you alluded to it in Deer Lake, closing the schools, and that one just sends, you know, all the shockwaves throughout the whole school system in the province. That's our first case of a child at a school, Elwood Elementary. They're closing it for a couple of days. Well, I mean, only 25% or so of the kids showed up today anyhow, so that might kind of be a moot point that they are closing it for contact tracing and testing and all that. But what really stood out here is that just before that news conference, the NLTA sent out a news release saying, look, we have to impose tighter restrictions in our schools. Let's wear masks in the hallways and other things to keep everyone safe. So we asked Dr. Fitzgerald, you did, that very question about wearing masks in our schools. And she said, no, we're not going to jump to conclusions based on just the one case at Elwood Elementary in Deer Lake. That one really stood out for me as kind of being a hallmark moment, because going into this, when we saw the notification of the education minister, we were thinking, okay, what's coming up next in the education system? Are they going to do something pretty drastic here, take different approach in our K-12 system, but indeed they did not.
No significant changes for rotational workers. They now have to wait till day 7 to get tested. They must isolate till day 7 before they get tested. Before, it was day 5. That was under a pilot project that was extended. However, they can isolate with their families in their homes. Nova Scotia is asking rotational workers to isolate alone. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and that was asked of the Premier as well and the Education Minister, because, you know, these people have kids in our school system who may be exposed to something. When you look at Alberta, especially right now, Alberta has such a drastic caseload. Ontario set another single day record today, by the way. We don't have Alberta's numbers yet, but they have exploded right off the map. So that is something, you know, to take into consideration. I'm not really sure about that. There's certainly the demand and the feeling is there for something to be done in that regard. Perhaps, you know, have a different kind of plan for the self-isolation of at least, say, a worker who does have children in the school system. There are a lot of calls for that to happen.
And questions have been raised about rotational workers coming home, coming to their families. They have a spouse at home who works in another type of field, and they're going out into the public, and people are asking questions about how to contain that potential spread.
Yeah, Carrie and I had a nice chat just after the first briefing, talking about the suggestion from the Premier, just a suggestion at this point, no change in the plans, but an idea that perhaps somehow it can be worked out that rotational workers do 1 month on and 1 month off instead of, you know, this 2 weeks, because if you're self-isolating for most of that 2 weeks, some cases perhaps all of it, you know, what's the sense of coming home for 2 weeks, I guess? But if it's a month on and a month off, you come home, you isolate, just say you have to isolate even for the full 14 days. Well, you know, you still have another two pretty good weeks there. So that is an idea which I think will be explored at some point, especially with Alberta restricting travel to just the essential travel. So something, depending on where their caseload goes over the next while, who knows what's going to come in that regard, travel between, you know, other provinces and Alberta.
Christmas is coming. Non-essential travel not recommended at this time. I know there's a few people who are probably booking their tickets right this second to get in here before the travel ban comes into play as of Wednesday morning. That's for the Atlantic bubble region anyway. Dr. Fitzgerald indicated that they've received an awful lot of requests for exemptions, and she says if it's just to come home for Christmas, they're getting a big fat no.
Yeah, I think you have to maintain consistency in that regard. That's going to be a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. But how would you, for Christmas, you know, change that rule, that approach. The approach so far has been, for the most part, someone who wishes to come home, see family. No, but I don't know how you could change that over Christmas, especially with the way the caseload is going now. Had the caseload, say, been what it was last summer, early last summer, perhaps, you know, they could look at it. But I don't know if that would be in the best interests of the province overall.
Of course, we saw the funeral home cluster in the spring, and we saw just how quickly and exponentially that grew. We have three separate clusters now in the province in various parts of the island.
Yeah, so they feel Grand Bank is under control, St. John's the situation under control. Deer Lake, not quite so assuredly about that situation. That one is still unfolding.
Brian Medora, thanks for this. We'll be hearing more in the coming hours and days for sure. And we are opening our lines on Target St. John's to hear what you have to say about that. Have you got any concerns about what you've heard this afternoon? Give us a call. We're going to go after the break. We're going to speak with Daryl Mercer of Marine Atlantic and see what kind of plans are in place there to address this Atlantic bubble situation. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're doing things a little bit differently today on Target. We're opening up the phone lines to get your reaction to some of what has been discussed here today on COVID-19, any concerns you might have. We have three separate clusters now in the province, in St. John's, Deer Lake, and Grand Bank, and it's caused quite a bit of concern out there. So if you have any thoughts, give us a call. Also noticing that, people doing an awful lot of shopping these days. Of course, we're heading up to Christmas, and I suppose some people sort of anticipating that things might start changing in the next little while. So it seems to me that there's an awful lot of activity out in the stores. Nice to see, but what does it say? Give us a call. Let us know what you have to say about that. We're going to go now to Daryl Mercer, who is with Marine Atlantic. Hello, Daryl.
Good afternoon, Linda.
How are you?
Oh, it's certainly been an interesting day. I guess everybody who's been watching COVID-19 over the past several months know that it's the only consistent is that we're constantly changing. So we're certainly working with the provinces and doing our part to try to minimize the spread of COVID-19 as well.
So how does this impact your operations, this a decision today that we're pulling out of the Atlantic bubble at least for a two-week period?
Well, from our perspective, we implemented a number of processes and procedures back in March to help deal with COVID-19. And that included passenger screening, passenger limits, isolation zones. We shut down some of our services, such as restaurants and bars. And we've pretty well kept those types of decisions in place throughout the past several months. So today's announcement, it's business as usual for us, with the exception of the province implementing the regulations. So while we provide the transportation service, the province of Newfoundland, Labrador, and the province of Nova Scotia, they would still move forward with their inspection processes. So if they're shutting down the Atlantic bubble, obviously they would have the questionnaire that would be posed by the inspectors when our customers get off the vessel.
Now, Nova Scotia is a hop, skip, and jump, so to speak, from us here. And up until this week, we were allowed to move freely between Nova Scotia and here. So what does Marine Atlantic do to, I guess, prevent that traffic back and forth? Or is that your job? Who do you work with, and how does that work?
Well, we're in constant contact with both provinces, and that's why we're continuously updating our website. Any of the new information that is provided, we assist with that. So that includes any of the questionnaires that need to be filled out, submitted to the provinces. And so we'll help facilitate that. We communicate the information to our passengers, including during the screening process. What the government of Newfoundland and Labrador does, for example, they have inspectors at our terminal in Port of Basque. So as each vehicle leaves the vessel, they will encounter an inspector from the province. They will be asked a number of questions, any documentation related to travel exemption or essential travel. And then, of course, they would make a decision as to whether or not the person or the customer would be permitted into the province. And over the past several months, there have been a number of instances where people have been refused entry. So that's the enforcement process. We communicate regularly with both provinces to find out exactly where we are from a regulatory perspective and communicate that to our customers. But again, it's the enforcement piece that rests with each of the provinces.
And I was going to ask you if people have been turned away, but they have.
Yes, absolutely. There's been a number of people over the past several months that that have been turned away. And when we look at the Atlantic bubble in the back in the summertime, we increased our passenger limits simply because there was a higher demand for customer traffic. And we've since reduced those numbers again. But we had people that would come across with large motorhomes, for example, that were from outside the Atlantic bubble, and they would be refused and sent back. So that's the process. We communicate the information, tell them what to expect, and we use our website and some of our other communication techniques for that. But the enforcement aspect still rests with each of the provinces, and they make the decision based upon whether a travel exemption has been granted, whether they're considered essential travel, and of course, then they have the right to refuse entry.
What about goods coming into the province? Have there been any problems there?
From our perspective, looking at while our passenger traffic is down significantly, commercial traffic is actually up. So there is still a big import of goods into the province using our service. And it's been flowing fairly smoothly. Of course, we have been experiencing a weather delay this week, which will impact some of the crossings. But the flow of traffic from a commercial perspective is still good, and we're still seeing high levels of activity from that perspective.
And yes, I was going to ask you about that because we've got a storm system moving in. What's the latest?
Well, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be a system that's going to hang around for a couple of days. So right now, we've canceled all crossings today. Captains are going to look again at the forecast for tomorrow. But right now, it doesn't look favorable, but we will have an update on that later on this evening.
Will that impact people waiting in the queue, I suppose, once this bubble comes into play?
Well, it's certainly that'll be one of those decisions that the province will have to look at. If we do not sail before the Atlantic bubble comes into effect on Wednesday, of course, the rules will still be in place, and we'll communicate that information to our customers. But any of those customers that are waiting to travel, they should check with each of the respective provinces, both Newfoundland, Labrador, and Nova Scotia, to determine what the latest rules for entry are. We know this is changing regularly, and obviously, Nova Scotia, we don't see any change so far today as to what their regulations are, but of course, that could change as well. So, again, we're trying our best to communicate information to our customers, but they should check with each of the respective provinces before they travel.
Daryl Mercer, Marine Atlantic, thank you.
Great. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you. Your thoughts, give us a call. We're going to go now to Arlo. He's on line one. Hi, Arlo.
Hi. Good afternoon, Linda. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Just about to go out and do some shopping.
Good luck to you.
Yes. Anyway, I just wanted to say that on July the 22nd, if my memory serves me correctly, July the 22nd, 2011, in Norway, there was the Norway massacre. And then some 16 hours later, in the Roundway, circle crops appeared. And uncannily enough, these circle crops were the exact molecular structure of melatonin. Now, melatonin is a chemical secreted by the pineal gland that helps human beings with sanity and relaxation. So I would suggest to the people of Newfoundland Labrador this morning or this afternoon that a shot of melatonin is needed.
I like your sense of humor, Arlo.
Yes.
Well, indeed. And, you know, while these are concerning times, let's stay positive, shall we? And just know
positive.
That we
and,
do have and control over this.
I lived most of the last 27 years in Ontario. And what seems to be different about the people in Ontario or the way we look at them, they seem to be more complacent. But what it is people in Ontario have lived through SARS, MERS, the bird flu, murders up the yin-yang. So their complacency seems to be a little different. And we live down here in such a relaxed, confined bubble that it all seems to be an overwhelming to us. And for me, I feel so relaxed down here. It's incredibly different than Ontario.
Well, indeed, in Ontario, it's less likely, you know, even if you have 100 people in your immediate circle of friends and coworkers and other contacts, mm-hmm. they're more spread out. It's less likely that you'll know them as well. Here, if somebody picks up the COVID, as we like to call it in Newfoundland and Labrador, there's
exactly,
chances
yeah.
are you know who it is or you
exactly.
know someone who knows who it is.
Yeah.
You know, we know. We are, you know, just one big extended family, really.
Yes, exactly. And we're so used to living with no virus in the community down here now that when any signs of it shows up, it seems to be we're all fear-stricken, whereas most of the country is walking around with people that are with hundreds of infections in their environment, and they don't know who they are. And it seems to stress us out more so than it does them.
Arlo, I thank you for your call, and good luck out there. I understand there's big lineups everywhere.
Oh, no. Are you telling me? Well, then maybe I'll skip it and wait till the morning.
Wear your mask.
Actually, I don't wear a mask. I'm exempt from wearing a mask, and that's a whole topic of another situation. Masks, my Lord, people should really do some research about the hazards and benefits of masks. And I'm a big proponent of wearing masks. Actually, I probably wouldn't be alive today only for the wearing of masks. So, but masks need to be worn properly. They need to be worn correctly. There's a systematic way and approach to wearing masks. And what I see going on in, right now is just a complete mockery of it, which disgusts me because I'm someone who's been a big proponent of PPE and masks. And what's going on here now is just not working. It really isn't.
Well, indeed, you do tend to see a lot of people with their noses sticking out of them. I don't see how that's benefiting anyone at all.
Well, here's the thing about it is we have three points of entry. We have our eyes, we have our nose, we have our mouth. Okay? And when you go around and you're dealing with true aerosol is actually considered any liquid or a solid of 100 microns or less that floats in the air. None of these masks protect against this. Anything other than over 100 microns falls to the floor within 1 to 3 seconds. This is physics. It's got nothing to do with any virus. This is just physics. So therefore, if you're trying to protect yourself against aerosol, which is microscopic particles of 100 microns or less, then if you aren't wearing a mask that makes any claims of protecting you against this, then what you're wearing is just a basic snot rag. We touch our faces 16 times an hour as human beings. If you wear a mask, you're probably doing it 30. So everything you cross-contaminate your hands with, you are now transferring it to your mask. And after hours and hours of this, what you're basically wearing in and out of your arse pocket is basically a bacterial-infested rag that's going to cause more nose and throat infections than Kellogg's got cornflakes.
Arlo, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I wouldn't discourage people from wearing masks, though. I'd rather put that snot rag, I guess, up to my face than have nothing at all and risk, you know, spreading things around. But he, you know, he makes some fairly good points about, you know, wearing masks properly and ensuring that the mask that you have has the right ability to filter out and fits your face properly. How many people do you see with the big gaps and holes? That's not really doing, but it's better than nothing, I suppose, is what it comes down to. Anyway, if you have any thoughts on what Arlo's had to say, by all means, give us a call. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Von Hammond of the Canadian Federation of Independent Business right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. We're doing things a little bit differently today. We're taking calls from the public on reaction to what's been announced today. And one of those people who has been reacting to it is none other than Von Hammond of the Canadian Federation of Independent Business. Hi, Von.
Hi, how are you?
So the premier today said that they want to avoid a lockdown at all costs and are introducing a number of measures, one of which is closing the Atlantic bubble, at least for a two-week period anyway. What's your reaction to that?
From the majority of our members' perspective, that's not a bad thing. They're looking around them and they're seeing that the number of cases related to travel or tied to travel are increasing. And now that for the most part, a bulk of our membership is entering what is a very important period for them, which is pre-Christmas shopping period. And to experience a lockdown now would be something that I don't know if it would be a disaster, quite frankly. And so what we heard today was actually, I think the premier recognizing that we can't go back to the spring. And so anything that the government can do in order to avoid that, I think it's going to be welcome from our membership.
Has business been picking up leading into Christmas?
Some are saying yes and some are saying no. I mean, a lot of our members know that the giant online retailers are going to be fine, the big box stores are going to be fine, but they certainly have less confidence in what they're going to be doing over the Christmas period. And I think that's the other important thing that the Premier said today, was to support local and shop local, because, you know, if they don't generate revenues between now and, or sometime in the next month, I guess it would be, they may be looking at a very difficult winter to get through, and we don't necessarily want that to happen, quite frankly.
Businesses have been shouldering a lot of the burden of enforcing social distancing regulations, that sort of thing. I noticed myself in quite a few retail stores, they have somebody at the entrance and they make sure that you get your squirt of sanitizer and they show you the way around, and there's signage on the flooring and, you know, arrows going everywhere and those kinds of things. And they've been, you know, really quite vigilant when it comes to ensuring social distancing, even in areas where just outside the door, the social distancing doesn't always seem to be happening.
And I think that's why it's important for us to avoid a lockdown, because so many businesses have taken this very seriously. They've done everything that they can to ensure that their employees and their customers are safe. They provide PPE, they provide hand sanitizer, as you've mentioned. And to see that they're doing everything that they can to avoid the spread of, or to hinder the spread of COVID-19, and to go back would be a kick in the pants for them, I think, for lack of a better phrase. And so from their perspective, they need to get customers into their businesses, because this revenue that they're going to generate over the next month or so is so very important to them, and which is the reason why people need to support local. And if they have a budget for Christmas, to dedicate some of that budget towards small local independent businesses try to provide as much support as possible, because it is needed and it's necessary.
Tougher, I guess, for restaurants and bars in particular, where, you know, at some point the masks come off and the inhibitions come down. Have you heard from any of your members about, you know, the difficulties in ensuring social distancing in those kinds of venues?
No, not at all, actually. And I mean, I haven't heard of any complaints even from the government's perspective. But from that perspective, restaurants and have been trying to do everything that they can in order to ensure that they follow the rules. One of the things that has been borne in mind as well is that there could be any unexpected visits from government inspectors. So there is that kind of level of oversight put in place as well. So business owners recognize that they can be inspected at any time, and they're doing everything that they can to ensure that they're doing what's necessary. And even the most recent example of a local restaurant, when they learned that they were had somebody in the business that had COVID-19, they turned around and shut down for a certain period of time. So I think business owners are taking this seriously, and they're doing everything that they can to help slow the spread of COVID-19. But this whole travel issue, that's where COVID-19 is getting into the province that way, I think they look at that and the need for tougher restrictions like deflating the Atlantic bubble as good news.
None of us has a crystal ball, of course, and we don't know where any of this is going. It's all up to us individually to make sure that we remain vigilant and follow the regulations that are in place to prevent the further spread of COVID-19. But are there any fears in the business community that we could eventually, depending on what happens, see a lockdown?
Yes, there are. And I think that's why it's so important for the government to actually identify criteria in terms of what it means to go back on alert levels. So if you consider the number of cases that we have now, active cases or whatever, we're at the same level that we were when we're at alert level 5, which was a full lockdown. So I think in order to alleviate some of those concerns, it's going to be incumbent upon government to determine what criteria and announce soon what criteria they will use to base upon whether we go from alert level 2 to alert level 3 or beyond. And if it is number of cases or anything like that, then it's important to know. I do recognize that the Chief Medical Officer of Health has stated publicly that they have learned a lot about this virus, and they're more interested in taking a more targeted approach than what they did, say, in the spring. But at least identifying some of the criteria for going up from one alert level to another would help alleviate some of the concern that business owners have as well.
And unlike the first lockdown, we now have a case in our school system. So that has to be of great concern to public health officials.
Well, I heard the interview that the Minister of Education and Mr. Stack of the Newfoundland Labrador English School Board, English School District, had this afternoon. And I think they're looking at it on a case, they've stated that they're looking at it on a case-by-case basis, and they want public health to do the work that they need to do. And I think that's what a lot of people, even outside of the school system, I think we need to let public health do the work that they need to do to contact trace and find out what's going on and where this is going, and trust that if they see something that's going off the rails, that they're actually going to identify what they need to do and what we have to do. But again, it goes back to what criteria will they assess any decisions on or make any decisions on. And that's, I think, something that business owners would welcome, actually.
Vaughn Hammond, Executive Director of the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your thoughts on what he's had to say, give us a call. We're hoping to hear from the NLTA next about what they had to say.
I actually just got off the phone with Dean Ingram, Linda, and of course, it's not just VOCM that wants to talk to him. He's juggling a bunch of interviews right now, but he should be available to us in about 4 or 5 minutes. So, of course, the NLTA, we do have the very first case of COVID-19 in our schools. It is in Deer Lake, of course, nowhere near the metro area here, but still concerning to parents. I know myself, I have a daughter that's in elementary school. You have a son in elementary school. How would you feel as a parent knowing that one of the kids in their class was diagnosed positive with COVID-19?
Well, it's bad enough if you hear that someone has the flu or the sniffles or anything.
Stomach bug or anything, right?
Right. So, of great concern to parents and no doubt teachers in the system as well. So we'll hear from Dean Ingram now shortly.
One thing that I was really surprised about today was the fact that we didn't get a news release a la what they've been doing in Nova Scotia, telling people if you've been here between this hour and this hour. You know, we know, for instance, that the person that traveled from Halifax was at the Biggs on Freshwater Road because the Biggs put that out there kind of thing. So they've shut down until the person that served this person that was COVID positive, for a few days. They're going to shut down, taking it upon themselves. I was really surprised that we didn't get that kind of a notice today. I think that people kind of want it. At the same time, they always say privacy concerns here in Newfoundland and Labrador because really the whole province is like one big town, I suppose, one big small town, right?
And if you recall, the essential worker who traveled to Happy Valley Goose Bay from Saskatchewan, they did have that kind of a timeline.
Right.
They did say they were at this store between this hour and this hour, and they were at this place from this hour to this hour. So there was that kind of a timeline presented at that time. Whether or not they think that this particular case isn't as potentially
threatening,
harmful,
I guess,
or threatening,
yeah.
Yes, remains to be seen. But it is a question that, needs to be asked. I appreciate that, Carrie. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we hope to hear from you.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're doing things a little differently today. We've been hearing from a number of people for their reaction to today's COVID announcement. And one of the ones that came immediately to mind as all of this was unfolding today was the president of the NLTA, Dean Ingram. Dean, what did you think?
Well, I think first off, the minister made the right call. The district made the right call. Closing the school under these circumstances makes a lot of sense.
But what do you think overall? What else needs to be done? Will this be enough?
Well, 2 days from now, I think that's a reasonable starting point, and these are things that can be reassessed. I think it's important to do so. But I would say that now more than ever, now would certainly be the time to reassess why the measures we see in our schools, and we've been making this point since March, are less than what we see in other public venues.
I put the question to the Chief Medical Officer of Health about some of the items that you raised yourself this morning about mandatory masks, for instance, mm-hmm. in the school system. And she indicated, you know, we can't make, you know, policy-wide decisions based on a single case. But what's your argument?
Well, we would hold that this is a policy decision that we think has merit in other public venues. Parents are asking me, why is it my child has to wear a mask when they go to the hockey rink, when they go to the grocery store with them, but not in the schools? Parents can't understand the discrepancy, and since March, neither can we. We know that masks, all the research, all the communication we've seen from public health authorities within the province and outside, emphasize the importance of mask wearing coupled with physical distancing. If mask is not an option, we need physical barriers.
What are teachers telling you in the Deer Lake area? Are they afraid?
There are concerns. I've had expressed concerns from our members, and not just in Deer Lake. I mean, the COVID situation has created a level of angst and anxiety throughout the entire province, and our members in Deer Lake, as with other parts of the province, are concerned about how this will develop as things unfold. But again, we know that this province is in a very good place, but it's a very fragile place, and things can change very quickly, as we've seen over the past number of months, most recently, of course. We think that now it's the time to restrict extra things coming to our school, not expand them. We need to enhance protective measures, not delay them, not expand. And for these reasons, we've been calling since March for the same protective measures we see in place in other public venues within the province to be put in place in our schools. People, space, time, and place, it's worked. It'll work in our schools as well, and that's why I feel that same mantra needs to be applicable to our schools.
So you raised concerns right off the bat about, as you put it, non-essential extracurricular activities in the school setting. Have you had any satisfaction in your discussions with government on that?
We have made our point, and our position is that the province has put in place protective measures for all kinds of injuries, including recreational facilities. If these things are going to happen within our schools, we need to have the same protective measures put in place within our school system. And that's been a consistent refrain we've made since March. It's something we're continuing to refrain now, and we'll continue in the future. Our position is that if you're going to, the more you open up schools, the more you enhance the risk. If you're going to open up, it has to be coupled with protective measures. And our position is we want those measures to be in place so we can maintain our school system.
Have teachers been downloading the COVID app? I guess depending on what age level they're dealing with, it's either effective or not that effective.
I can't speak directly for all teachers, but I know that I have.
And a lot of people have, and thankfully my phone hasn't pinged off. That's one thing that I've been holding very close to me over the last little while. How do you feel overall about how the province is dealing with this situation?
The announcements today, those are prudent. Those are the right ones. But again, we still hold our position that it's been since the beginning that we have concerns with the degree of inconsistency we see within our school system on so many fronts and what we see in other public venues throughout the province. And that's not a new position for the NLTA to announce. It's the position we've had since March.
Are you fearful that we'll see more cases in the school system at some point?
The best way to avoid that, our position is we want students to be kept in schools. The best way to avoid that is to ensure that all necessary protective measures, as deemed necessary in other public venues, are the same ones we see within our school system. The best way to keep COVID at bay is to not become complacent and provide our school system with the same degrees of protection we see in other parts of the province.
How have teachers been doing in helping to allay the fears of students?
Teachers have done what they've historically always done, worked for the best for their students. They've tried to ensure that the school system works to the degree that it can, that they do their best to comfort students, but at the same time, we need to ensure that the school system has access to all that it needs to ensure that they can keep those students safe. This is the degree and the dynamics, and we do hold our position that we need to be a consistent measure, set of measures between our school system and all other venues in the province.
And who's there to support the teachers?
Well, the association is certainly, but we also hope that the district, as the employer, that the Department of Education, will move that. We've had discussion what's needed. Government and the district needs to put in place those measures for all in the school system, for parents, for students, but certainly also teachers.
Dean Ingram, thank you. I know it's been a busy day for you. I really appreciate your time.
Kindly welcome.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. And that is Dean Ingram, the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association. Well, Kerry, it's been a big news day for sure. Lots to dissect and digest there.
We had a
two
full
new
hour
cases.
And a half of briefings. Imagine that. Usually, you know, they've been a half an hour to an hour, but we had a full hour and a half today. Busy indeed.
Indeed. And I suspect that things got changed somewhat when the child's case came in positive this morning, as they indicated. So I think that shuffled a lot of chairs on the deck, so to speak. So two new cases, just a little update now. Two new cases of COVID-19 reported in the province today, including a student at Elwood Elementary in Deer Lake. That school is now closed. It's closed for today and at least tomorrow while they do their contact tracing and they test the students and staff. That case, of course, linked to a previous case. All student cohorts awaiting testing in that school. The school's been closed for 2 days. That brings to 23 the total number of active cases of the virus in Newfoundland and Labrador. I think it's fair to say we're into our second wave here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Eight new cases on the weekend. And that brings to 20, I think, the number of cases in the last week alone. So that's quite high when you compare it to where we were, let's say, in March, April, when we had the funeral home cluster, which was all connected to one case but seemed to be almost everywhere. So most of these cases, of course, all coming in from outside of the province. We've closed the Atlantic bubble now, or it will be closed as of 12:01 on Wednesday morning. And that's going to be for a two-week period, so nobody is allowed in, even from Nova Scotia, which we had always allowed that travel back and forth fairly freely.
And no incidents of community spread, of course. Important to note here in Newfoundland and Labrador, no true community spread here. All of the cases can be traced back to someone that traveled into the province.
Right. No mysterious cases of community spread. And it's turned out that some of the cases that we had that could not immediately be identified either stemmed from someone who got it from someone who was asymptomatic and hadn't had their test result back yet, mm-hmm. or it was a lab error. I think that was all the cases we had.
Yeah,
that
there
could
was
not
a couple of false positives that we had there. It's funny, you know, you were just mentioning to Dean Ingram about the app. And here in Newfoundland and Labrador, we've all been a little bit complacent, a little bit loosey-goosey. Oh, you know, there's no COVID here. I mean, there's always been some COVID here in some shape or form, but we haven't had very many cases. And in the middle of that news briefing at about 11:35 this morning, I went ahead and downloaded the COVID-19 alert app. It is important that everybody goes out and does that. I mean, it is certainly helping out across the country, so maybe it'll help us with our second wave here.
One of the two new cases that was announced in the province today was related to a person who had traveled, come back from Alberta, I believe. Well, the Department of Health and Community Services now asking passengers who traveled on Air Canada Flight 8880 from Halifax to Deer Lake, arriving on Thursday, November 19th, to call 811 to arrange for COVID-19 testing. Public Health is making this advisory out of an abundance of caution, that term again, because of a confirmed case in the Western Health Region announced yesterday. So, of course, the symptoms of COVID-19 include a fever, cough, headache, sore throat, painful swallowing, runny nose, diarrhea, loss of a sense of smell or taste, and that can last for an extended period of time, I understand, unexplained loss of appetite, so suddenly you don't feel like eating anymore, or small red or purple spots on the hands and or feet. And even if you receive a negative test result, public health is encouraging all passengers on that flight to continue monitoring themselves for symptoms for a full 14 days from the time of their arrival in the province. So obviously we're taking things very seriously here as well. Air Canada Flight 8880 from Halifax to Deer Lake arriving Thursday, November 19th. If you were on that aircraft, call 811 to arrange for COVID-19 testing. Thanks for listening, everyone.